Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelly. All right. Joining me now, monetarymacros.com, CIO Joseph Wong, Bianco Research President Gene Bianco. We got so much brain power here, guys. We have to open the doors. Let's, you know, keep it down here. All right. Let me start with you, Joe. First time in studio. And I was reading your work. Let's go backwards. So this balancing act for Jay Powell, you think he'll say, okay, it's okay to cut rates based on some softness in jobs, even though it means longer, sticky inflation?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. This is a magnificent studio. And I do think that's how it works. So the Fed ultimately is political in the sense that the people who work there, they have certain values and beliefs, right? And when you look at it, when you look at what those values and beliefs are, they are heavily, heavily, heavily part of the Democratic Party, right? You can see that in public voting data as well. And one of the hallmarks of being of that view, of that value, is valuing employment more than inflation. So I think when push comes to shove, when we have a little bit higher in unemployment, when we have, even if inflation is still a bit high, I think they're going to cut. And I think that's going to keep us stuck with higher inflation simply because politically, that's their value system. They're just really, really afraid of unemployment.
Jim?
I would agree with that, that the Fed value system does lean that way. I would put a nuance on it that the Fed is not necessarily partisan. And what I mean by partisan is they don't sit around the FOMC table and say, who do we want to vote? Who do we want to win the November election? I don't think they do that at all. But I do think that their political values come in. Where I'll take a little bit of disagreement is if the Fed wants to tolerate a little bit higher inflation, they're going to risk a bad reaction out of the bond market. Because I think the bond market is comforted when the Fed is on the case when they're worried about inflation. If the Fed is going to say, we'll tolerate a little bit inflation, Right. Then we'll tolerate owning a little bit less of your bonds and push the price down and push the yield higher.
So now we talked about this a lot for a while. You were in no man's land with the no landing. Then the bandwagon started to fill up right now. You've kind of adjusted your stance here a little bit, right?
Yeah. I was always looking for the idea that we would make a new high in yields at 5 to 5.5. We got to 4.75. So I kind of moved to neutral, only because it's 75% of the way done. What's the old line on Wall Street? Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And I'll take 75% and back off. I still think we might get 5, 5.5, but it's not that far away anymore. And if we get that without any kind of a major move in the market, I suspect I might start thinking about getting long this market, at least looking for a meaningful bond market rally.
You know, Joe, one thing I've been worried about, and I've used it on a show a few times, you know, the Hemingway, gradually, then sudden. And I kind of thought about it a little bit with the initial jobless claims report came in significantly higher than expected. Since then, they're saying maybe there's a quirk with the New York data. You know, Wall Street, those, they have circled the wagons quickly when the narrative starts to change. But do you worry about a shock? I'm not sure where it would come from, but it feels like there's a lot of the economists are too sanguine about this. Whether they're on either side, they believe it's going to gradually keep going up or gradually go down, and none of them seem to expect any sort of shock to the system.
So I think you're right to note that the labor market has been deteriorating. We saw that this morning in the jobless claims. We saw that in non-farm payrolls. I think what the economists don't see and what they can't see is that this time around, we have a significant increase in the supply of labor. We have millions of people coming into this country, and a lot of them are illegal, so we just don't know how many. Now, I think what could happen is as we have weakening demand and we have this ongoing supply that people just don't know, can't see, but it's there in the millions. We could have a rise in unemployment, a weakening in the job market that is faster than expected.
But certain industries, that wouldn't help, though. I mean, like these industries that are saying, these aren't necessarily all skilled laborers. You know,
exactly.
People can't go straight to Silicon Valley and get a job.
Right. A lot of the people coming, you know, they're not sending their best. So I think in certain sectors, we can have unemployment rates shoot up a lot faster than expected. So rather than a sudden shortfall in demand, I think weakening demand and sudden surge in supply.
So, Jim, what are you seeing now that's most prevalent on your radar?
Probably the economy and inflation. You know, the inflation rate has really stalled at around, let me use CPI, you know, above 3%. It's going to probably be about 3.4 if the estimates are correct for the April CPI report. And this whole narrative that Wall Street has had that we were in this last mile to going to 2%.
Right.
And Fed officials saying that the inflation rate will fall later this year. There's a phrase they use called the base effect. Look at the numbers from a year ago. They're very, very low, the inflation numbers. If we get modest or normal inflation numbers now, the year-over-year number might start trending higher, and that's going to be difficult for the Fed to be making the case that they're still on the path towards 2% because the numbers won't be headed that way until at the earliest the fall, only if you get the data to kind of cooperate.
So what do you make then, Jim, of the sort of, if I feel like it's become a wild card, housing or shelter? Because when Powell initially began with this rate hiking cycle, it wasn't long after the data was coming in, and you know, it was sort of surprising. It was still a little bit too hot, but the part that was hot was, for the most part, you know, things like insurance, but housing is shelter. And all the economists have said, well, the way they factor it, the way they figure it out, it's always going to be a 3 or 4 month lag. It's been like a year lag, and maybe housing is going in the other direction. If that doesn't fix itself, then what does the Fed do?
Well, that'll be a big problem, because no matter what you think about housing, it is everybody's biggest cost, whether it's rental or the own of a home.
Right.
I think what we're missing with the housing numbers is what we talk about with general inflation. The cumulative impact of housing inflation since 2020 has been much greater than people think. So while they talk about housing rolling over, the OER, the owner's equivalent rent part of CPI, rolling over and bringing down CPI, it still hasn't caught up to things like Zillow or Apartment.com showing 30 or 40% increases in rent. It's only up about 25%.
Right, right.
That's why I think it's been difficult for it to come down. It's still trying to, correct that divergence.
I saw a report yesterday that said 2023, New York rents went up 7 times that New York salaries went up. And somewhere like 1 out of 4 people in Manhattan's a millionaire. You have to be. And that's just to get a shoebox apartment. Joe, what's most prevalent for you? Like, what are you most concerned about right now?
So what I'm most concerned about really is the fiscal situation. I think what's really changing going forward is that if you continue to have a 6% fiscal deficit, what you're really doing is you're printing dollars, you're debasing the currency, and that I think throws everyone off course.
Are you surprised these bond yields, like this yield, the bond auction rather? It was a little sloppy, but it's still, considering how much money they're raising. I mean, at some point, do you think that could be a place where because you talked about the bond vigilantes, I guess. These bond auctions seem to be going off okay so far.
Yeah, I'm really surprised about the bond market. You know, if I were a bond investor and I saw 6% fiscal deficits forever, that so much even merited a special mention in the IIF's reports, then I wouldn't really be buying bonds in these yields. So I'm with Jim. I think bond yields should go higher. And I think this is something that perhaps the market, because we've been in a multi-decade bull market for such a long time, you have a lot of complacency here. You have a lot of people who are basically grown up in a world where you just buy bonds and you make money.
I think that's
changing, yeah. And that takes time to filter into.
Ironically, it's changing right before our eyes, but it feels like a slow motion train wreck. And by the time we all catch on, maybe people wish they saw this segment. Joe and Jim, thank you both very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to stick with housing because